Erin Greenwald grew up in Pensacola, but came often to New Orleans with her family. Even at an early age, she marveled at the richness of this city's history. So, after an undergraduate degree from Tulane and postgraduate studies in history at Ohio State, she returned, joined the Historic New Orleans Collection as an editor in 2007, and spent the next 5 years working on a 184-page uncensored French document written by a young man who set sail for New Orleans in 1729 as a clerk for the French Company of the Indies.
The author's name is Marc-Antoine Caillot, and when we first acquired the manuscript, we didn't have anything but his last name. And so part of my job was really figuring out who this person was, what kind of family he came from, and where he went after he was in Louisiana for 2 years. He is the eldest son of a family that was very closely tied to the king's household, which is an administrative body made up of domestics, religious personnel, and military personnel that served within the different households related to the Bourbon family.
Caillot's father was a footman in the household of the Dauphin, the eldest son of Louis XIV. When the Dauphin died, his family stature dropped, so Marc-Antoine obtained an entry-level patronage position with the French Company of the Indies.
He starts in the offices in Paris. He takes his first commission to Louisiana, where he stays for 2 years as a clerk. And I will say that this is not a desirable place for a young man to come. There's not much opportunity for graft on the side because it wasn't a super successful colony at that point economically.
Marc-Antoine arrived in New Orleans after a 51-day exhausting journey from Paris. An incorrigible rogue, his writings detail accounts of his many pranks, including how he pretended to be in love with a less-than-beautiful female passenger on his ship.
He just goes through this whole process of leading her on and writing about her reaction and just how ridiculous she was. And this is the kind of thing that Caillot really was taking. He was very proud of himself for coming off as clever and funny, even if it were at other people's expense. So that's pretty typical for him. He's kind of like a 18th century frat boy type. No offense to all of you frat boys out there, but he's just a real rascal.
The Natchez Indian Revolt upriver shortly after Caillot arrived required him and his office mates to undertake militia duty, patrolling the streets of a nervous New Orleans. When not on guard duty, Caillot reported that he and his mates were bored to death.
And so what does he do in typical New Orleans fashion? He decides to go celebrate Carnival. And so he and the owners of the inn where he's staying on Royal Street and several other people dress up, some as Amazon, some as, you know, the Marquis of Carnival. And he dresses up as a shepherdess all in white. And he is so pleased with himself. He describes how he has shaved his chest and plumped up his breasts and put beauty marks on himself. And, you know, he says, unless you looked really closely, you couldn't tell that I was a boy. And he arrives at this wedding on the Bayou St. John. They basically crash this wedding and turn it into a Lundi Gras celebration.
Well, there are a lot more stories to be told, but not enough time here to tell them. So for more information on the memoirs of bad boy Marc-Antoine Caillot and the accompanying HNOC exhibition Pipe Dreams, which opens on June 18th, go to wwno.org. Or NOLAVIE.com. For WWNO, I'm Sharon Litwin.
Je ne sais pas si l'âne est de plus blonde, mais de plus belle, il n'en est pas pour moi. Elle est vraiment toute la joie du monde. Ma vie commence dès que je la vois. Et je fais oh, et je fais ah. C'est si bon de partir n'importe où. Bras dessus, bras dessous. En chantant des chansons.